Here we are, hitting up events, drinking our way through Chicago beer, and trying not to miss a thing.
Yeah, because, you know, got a cork popped out, boom, it flies like fucking 10 feet. We're like, yeah, let's do it.
You know, all you have to do is add some fruit, stir it up, and ride that milkshake wave.
Whenever I see him, I got to take a photo with the most decorated brewer in Chicago, Jonathan Cutler.
It'll be like the stuff you hear. You ever go to, every time you go to Floyd's, all the music sounds like this. Raw, raw, raw.
Sometimes you want a small beer, but really, you want a big beer.
You got to take in all those big, aromatic hops.
Hey, what are you doing this weekend? Waiting in line for a bottle release?
You should have never been a fad. The Black IPA is delicious.
Hey, and welcome to Chicago Beer Pass. I'm Brad Chmielewski.
Brad, what's up, man? I'm Nick White.
And we are in downtown Oak Park. On location.
On location, Oak Park, Illinois. Hello.
With special guests.
Yeah, we've seen these two before.
Yeah, but we're on audio, so no one could see that.
Oh, yeah. Also that. Thank you, Brian. Yeah. We've got Jana and Heather from Hello. The Oak Park Microbrew Review.
Yeah. Welcome.
Hi. Thank you for having us.
Thanks for having us. Yes. We're here to talk about the festival. We got beer to drink. We're going to talk about pizza and burgers, whatever else comes up.
It's so good to see you guys. We're just talking about how we see you randomly in random places. It's good to see you. Yeah. Coordinated effort.
We're about, 2 weeks from?
11 days.
11 days.
Oh, wow. That's that. Not that I'm counting.
It's Tuesday. I'm not sure what day
we're
it
totally
is.
Not counting.
11 days.
11 days.
Tickets are still up.
Yeah.
And it's an event you can just come through and walk around. Even if you don't buy a ticket, you can just kind of enjoy the experience of it all. But please buy a ticket.
Please buy a ticket. It does go to a cause and a mission. But yes, you can't just walk through.
So it is in beautiful downtown Oak Park. So you can take the Green Line here from Chicago. Super convenient. Like, the train actually lets out sort of in the middle of the fest.
Conveniently at our planned registration table.
Conveniently, yes. So it is open to the public. You're welcome to walk through and all of that. We've got music, we've got all the things, but it is super, super convenient to get here to taste a ton of really amazing beers. And typically this is the type of fest that the brewers love to be at, so you will see a lot of brewers here having a good time as well.
Yeah. So speaking about beer, we have beer in front of us, and we have some of the breweries that are going to be here. I have two right now I'm drinking a Sketchbook.
My roles are reversed here. Usually I'm the one.
I know.
I know. You're double fisting.
A Sketchbook and a Maplewood.
Okay. I'm rolling with a Hot Butcher.
And then we also have a Dutch Bag.
Yeah, a Dutch Bag Brewery. This is a new brewery to me.
Yeah, so they've been on the scene for a few years now. Super fun. Returning to the fest this year, but this is their Grisette. Mm-hmm. Which is delicious.
They took over the old Motoro space.
They are they're brewing with Dunier ferment.
Yes, we're also going to be at the fest.
Yeah. Well, it's the same, but different.
I like all their logoing on the back. Keep it cool. You got some hops. The Vikings recycle. Oh, okay for vegans. Oh. All right, this is new to me.
I like those guys. I ran into them at Bridgeport.
Okay.
The True Chicago, whatever that's called.
And you've been over to the brewery a couple times.
Yeah, I've been down there. Yeah. It kind of looks the exact same. No, not the exact same.
That's Motoro?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I've never been.
Dunier Fermenta, real quick, is it's, what is it? It's the forest where the mighty Thor lives.
Yes.
Oh.
Okay.
Yeah. Dunier.
But then, so there was a thing.
Brad and I are like, sure. But Jana knows a story.
All right.
No, I was going to go into that. So Dunier Fermenta and Modern Dune were sharing the same space, but they've separated into separate breweries now. So they're not
technically the same
anymore. So they are separate breweries.
Wait a minute, but that's still different than the Dutch Bank that you just mentioned.
Yes, so Dutch Bank is different too. So it's a collaborative space, so it's sort of like what Pilot Project is doing with lots of breweries brewing out the same space.
Different than
but this is a different location.
all proprietary.
You know, all in the name of creativity.
All in the name of creativity. And okay.
Miskatonic just came out. They're doing a sub-brand, too.
Oh. Okay.
That I'm a terrible person because I can't remember the name of. But I know exactly what the logo looks like.
Well, because Hot Butcher left and took over Half Acre. So
yeah.
Hot Butcher was brewing there. So I wonder who's moved in.
Oh, into the Miskatonic space?
Yeah. So it's the Miskatonic team, but it's like a sub-brand
it's
of
like
them.
It's like Unani and Hubcape.
Different Cape. Beers than what Miskatonic typically brews.
Oh, I think Unani and Hubber Cave are more like intertwined than Hidden Hands and Salamos. Like they
well, Hidden Hand and Salamos are pretty intertwined. Yeah. It's sort of like the perennial side project thing.
Okay. Yeah.
Oh, look at us. We went on a weird tangent. I don't know any of these things, but I feel like I'm pretty in tuned.
That kind of like, Nick and I were driving up and we were talking about the breweries that come to the festival. And we were wondering, like, there's always a lot of them.
Yeah.
How is it decided who's going to be here? Is it... you submit stuff? Do you pick them? Is there like a long list?
Yeah, so there's always a long list of people that want to take part. You know, we're fortunate to have a huge space to put breweries into. So we don't necessarily always have to limit how many breweries we have. But we do have a list. People shoot us notes, say like, hey, we'd love to come. We sort of review it, say like, yeah, you fit our vibe. We would love to have you. With that, you know, every year there's sometimes other things going on. You know, Half Acre sometimes has their anniversary party the same weekend.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Not this year, but it does happen.
Does happen.
That was an intense weekend.
I think we left a cab from Oak Park and went up
there. I did that 1 year. I was said to Jana, I'm like, I'm volunteering, but I have to be at Half Acre. That's a brutal way to do life.
It is a brutal way to do life. But yeah, so like we keep a pretty good roster of breweries that we want. You know, there's new breweries every year.
So there has been breweries you've been like, nah.
Like yeah, like there's definitely been.
Guncraft is gonna be like, yo, can we come there? You're like, nah, you're not for us.
This you don't your... hit our vibe. I don't know that they're listeners, but I'm just saying, maybe not.
Wait, we checked with our chief vibe officer, and we're going to have to say no.
We're going to say no.
Yes. So there's that. And then because the heart of the festival and the mission is sustainability, you know, we always look to people that sustainability is a core of their business. You know, are there any breweries out there that are being specifically, like, unsustainable? Not really.
But are the ones that leaning in a little bit more? Sure. So we talked about this. Dutch Bag has a compostable foretop for their, or what do they call that stuff? Foretop.
Right. Most people have those plastic pack tops.
Yeah, pack tops.
Pack tops.
Yeah.
And they have these compostable ones.
Yeah, a little can holder.
Little
which
four
is
pack
nice.
Holders. It's cute. Oh,
it's good. They're definitely, and the other thing with this, like breweries know, like this is an event that's put on by the, we talk about this a lot, and I know we've talked about this a lot, right? So most every beer event I've been involved in is for a nonprofit. Same with this one, right? So it's on for an actual mission for 7 generations ahead to build sustainable communities. So the breweries that come out too know that they're both like, hey, yes, they donate beer because they know that they are actually supporting a mission and it's not like part of the proceeds go to this, which part of the proceeds legitimately, legally could be a penny if they wanted to do it that way, right?
Okay.
So we are working with closely with 7 generations ahead and them they are the producers of the event. Ultimately, we produce it as one on the way events, but they are the ones putting it on. So that's the other thing when the breweries come in that want to be there and when we have like a list of people, it's because there's a mission and a why behind the actual event. So 16 years in to do that. So
So going back to that list, so you making the call, like Nick and I were like, we come to these fests and we're like, well, I want to try these breweries that I really can't get to. I'm going to try someone like Flapjack. I'm not probably going to make it to Flapjack, but I kind of want to try their beers here.
Yeah.
You both are working, so are you... when you're making this list or approving people, you're like, well, I kind of want to sneak away and maybe get one of those, so I'm going to let them come in.
Yeah, definitely. Well, you experienced it with me earlier.
Because you're both craft beer fans.
Yeah.
So you kind of,
you experienced it with me earlier. I need to look at the list a little bit closer and make my internal list of what I want to get to that day. There was a seltzer that had a long line, and no offense, but I do have a radio and I can beat the line a little bit, I'll just say. So I was like...
That was the Lulz.
I was like,
Lulz. Lulz are good.
I was like, I'm going to... I was like, I'm going to skirt the line a little bit and use my power here, but yeah.
Sadly, I was unable to get there before they closed.
This guy was talking about Lulz at Phobap.
It was my favorite at Phobap was the Lulz apple cider.
I mean, they do solid work. Like, they're amazing. I love them.
I love that they had a Phobap, a beer at Phobap. That's amazing.
They were like, what was it? Two years ago.
Yeah, P3.
In the like little loft there. Yep.
Oh, okay.
And so I was like, I'm just gonna sit here and drink this apple seltzer.
I am the person that drinks all of the seltzer in the Brewer's Lounge. Okay, like, yeah. That is my jam. I will drink it all and it will be gone and nobody else gets it. It is for me.
Beyond. Right. You know, we've also done like these events where, and I'm sure you guys are that way, and I know Jan and I have both been that way, where brewers are like, try this, and it's like, great, but like sometimes I just want a really relaxing, easy drinking beer. I love, you know, don't get me wrong, like give me all the barrel aged beer, and that's how I learned to like bourbon, which is like one of my favorite things on the planet. But that's how I now learned that. But there is a time where you're just like, just give me something really easy to drink that I can like
tolerate all day. Yeah, that's why I think a lot of these breweries are making these lagers, the 4% kind of beers, because
yeah.
Nick, what was that? You were listening to a podcast recently. They were talking about High Life, basically, kind of being this beer that people promote, but it's kind of hurt craft beer at the same time.
I think the argument was like, what was it? Anchor was closing,
and
the argument was like, hey, all these cool brewers that are drinking, you know, PBR and High Life, or you know,
Hams,
all these ironic beers. If they were drinking beers like Anchor or Sierra Nevada, then maybe it would have had a different fate. I think that was their argument. So
I think I appreciate that argument. But if all of these brewers were drinking Sierra Nevada and Anchor, like, they'd be a lot more wasted.
That's,
right?
That's the thing. I don't think those brewers were making beers that, like, those are very light beers.
Like, you see a lot of the breweries now making these lower ABV beers. I think to drink and the consumer has kind of come down, or a percentage of the consumer has come down. I know, just like,
I want a lunch 4.2. beer. Yeah, this is a 4.2 that we're drinking by Dutch Bag. It's delightful.
That's so, and it's for super, super 4. Funny 4. That you made 4. That segue.
4.20.
Oh. Sometimes I'm smarter than I look, I swear.
Yes.
No.
So, super funny segue. We did a survey of past attendees and we asked people what they wanted, and they really said they wanted non-beer options. So they wanted seltzers and they wanted non-alcoholic things.
I want a jug of wine.
And bourbon. We're not specifically doing that, but we do have a couple of distilleries coming this year to kind of mix things up. But then we do have a focus this year, not necessarily a focus, I guess, but more than we've ever had of NA beers.
Right.
So Athletic Brewing is coming out, Go Brewing from Naperville.
Right by
they're
Salamis.
Coming out. They're doing a super, super fun
activation
where they're going to be doing some like tasting to see like, can you tell if it's NA or not?
Oh, that's awesome.
And then also,
so definitely make sure you guys go. I'm really excited about that. Dude, they're coming out. They're gonna serve the NA beer, which comes in a can, which by the Illinois standards is like water, so people could walk off with it. We have to talk about that a little bit, but like, you know, like it seems like it shouldn't or shouldn't, you know, it seems like a weird thing, but they came in and they are going to do this second activation that's like, come taste test and see if you can tell the difference between the NA beer and the non-NA beer. And they're making, I can tell you, I've met the owner, he's wonderful, and they're very mission focused. They like that this is a sustainable nonprofit. But he's going to make a run at Athletic Brewing, and I think a pretty serious run at them.
Yeah, and they're one of the top breweries in the country for its sales all of a sudden.
Mm-hmm.
People are really
responding to that. And I think Go Brewing is going to make a serious run at them, and I think they have the wherewithal to do it.
I think they're trying. But then we have Visitor is also a local NA brewery that's going to be there.
I don't know them, okay.
I think they're kind of just getting started in the past year or so, but they're super excited. They're local to Oak Park, and I think it's going to be really fun.
Nice. And the hop water is like, I'm drinking some Sketchbook. They have a hop water. Revolution has a hop water.
Yeah.
Okay. Lagunitas hop. That's not a hop water, but that's
okay. Yeah, I mean,
I do love a hop water.
So between the hop waters and the seltzers and like, so whether you know it or not, Haymarket makes the best Chicagoland area seltzer, which is a strawberry basil.
It literally is my favorite seltzer in the whole planet.
Strawberry basil seltzer. Not just saying that because I am clearly biased, but it is delicious. And
it's delicious. Have you not had it?
If you haven't had it, you need to.
I've had it. I've had the Penrose. Penrose makes a great
one. Oh, the Penrose ones are amazing. Yeah. The slush ups.
They have an Honor Palmer one.
You know, you get some seltzers and sometimes they taste that chalky sensation. I think Haymarket did the first seltzer that I had that didn't taste like I was eating a dissolved tablet into a beer. Mm. It's so good. Welcome to summer.
The non-alcoholic stuff or the non-beer options make sense, especially in Oak Park where there's a lot of families and people are pushing around strollers.
We asked for seltzers and ciders and NA options this year, and anything that still fit though the craft concept, right? So even the distilleries that are coming on are craft concepts. So everything, we understand that beer fests have changed and evolved, and what does that look like, and how do you make sure you're still relevant? And we did a survey, similar like we talked about it. We did a survey of quite a few guests, and that was one of the things was please have NA options, seltzer, cider. There was some conversations about wine or bourbon or all those kinds of things. Like, you have to watch your tipping point, right? Like, what does that look like? But
bring on the meat.
We usually have some meat.
There is like a meat person usually.
Yeah, there's really a meat person, but the NA was a huge conversation, so I'm glad that we have three that are coming and will be present.
Yeah, the Great American Beer Fest this year announced that they're having a Beyond Beer kind of section for the first time ever.
Oh, did they steal that from us?
Brewers Association, we're looking at you.
Does the BGCP have a non? Like, do they have an NA category?
BJCP?
Yeah. For the judging?
Beer Judge Certification Program.
The Beer Judge Certification Program?
I feel like they probably add one here soon.
They
like,
should soon. I don't
believe there are official guidelines for judging it yet, but I'm sure that it'll be added within the next year.
It seems logical, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's a good call, though, that you guys are including other things than beer. Because a modern brewery, right, in the modern sense, breweries include other beverages nowadays. It's not just
Speaking of other non-beer things, what about the food options?
Yeah, there are 10 different restaurants this year. We're really excited. Q Barbecue's coming on, which is always a favorite. Haymarket is obviously going to be there as well.
New this year is Baby Gold Barbecue.
Baby Gold Barbecue is coming.
Which is
Fitzgerald's.
John Mannion. Berwyn.
Yeah. Do love myself a good John Mannion food.
He does El Shea, I think, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And he's opening the second one. I mean, not to promote that food, but man, it is my favorite.
We've got some local desserts. We've got Carnivore, who's always an amazing sponsor for us.
They do. Carnivore is great. They have they're local to Oak Park, downtown Oak Park, just around the corner. There's 10 different restaurants options. So you're going to find there's some tacos, which I'm missing. I know I'm missing others.
Tacos, burgers, pasta, pizza, a little bit of everything. But we also wanted to make sure that we were going to have some vegan options, some dessert options. There's going to be coffee. There's going to be lots of things.
Yeah. Yeah, we're changing it to a little more of an actual street fest esque. That's still in the quaint downtown Oak Park, and what does that look like? And not as many merch vendors, but I think next year we'll probably have some more of the merchandise vendors that come on and like eco-friendly, buy this product, buy that product, things like that. So
you think more of the you see in the Chicago neighborhood festivals, like those
kind of a little thing? Bit, I think. That will lean that way even more because that's kind of the feedback we got from the survey we did. There's going to be a game area, so I can't remember. Seven Generations Ahead. So go learn about what Seven Generations Ahead, who they are, what their mission is, and how they're building sustainable communities. They do a lot of really great things. But they're also going to have a bag set, a giant Connect Four. There's going to be a hula hoop contest.
You think you're good at hula hoop until you like
until get you old, do it and then you're like,
I'm not good.
but there are people who are very good at hula hoop.
And Gary, who's the executive director of Seven Generations Ahead, wants it to not only be like how long can they go, but do they know tricks? Do you know tricks when you hula hoop? I don't know.
I mean,
you
I
gotta
don't.
Focus on the basics of keeping up.
I clearly don't know any hula hoop tricks. But have you guys been out to Rabid Brewing?
No.
I have been to Rabbit.
It's in Homewood, and it's amazing. Yeah. And Ray, it is behind the Home Depot, and they use that tagline a lot.
That's the hashtag on their
We're behind the Home Depot.
Yeah. So, we're Homewood behind the Home Depot.
So Ray is, like, amazing at hula hooping, and she spends all of her time trying to teach the rest of us how to hula hoop.
So we did it when we went out
at events. So we did it, yeah. And I'm terrible at it because I'm just not coordinated like that. Like, clearly, I was not meant to be a hula hooper. But she is so good. And so she brings her hula hoops to, like, FOBAB and all the beer events and stuff, and, like, has made it a mission to try and teach us all that we are actually really good at hula hooping. And lots of other people are, just not me.
At the golf event, she was dressed like a witch with a hat and everything.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, well, she's going to win Best Dress.
Oh, did you not win Best Dress this year?
Did you wear a costume?
I was not dressed like a witch. So.
Did you wear a costume at all?
I didn't wear a costume either.
Did you wear a costume like I'm a beer drinker?
The Revolution guys came in matching like sun catcher and anti-hero golf shirts.
Oh. Well, of course.
And so, and they look like a boy band. There's four of them. Riding off into a cart, wow. Dressed like, I'm like, well.
Did they slow motion high five?
Did they blow their hair?
So oh, there goes that.
The stakes have been raised. Okay, all right.
Yeah, so hula hoop contest probably around 4 is going to be my guess. We'll let you know for sure. But yeah, so there's like going to be those kind of fun, what else can we do that's fun? And like maybe they'll, you know, large Jenga game or something. And then with the Go Brewing, different kind of thing. So
that's a lot. I feel like I have a hard time just making it all the way by the time it ends. Like,
yeah.
I'm like, I should probably leave because if I have to go all the way back,
but
I'm
don't forget about all the bands and the music. Like one of one of the individuals we had was a headliner was a headliner at Blues Fest. So like the music and all those kinds of things. So you put all of those things into place, it becomes a little bit more of a street fest type thing that you're thinking about because the music is super high caliber. So we're really excited about that as well. Give me a good blues move.
And
by the way,
you're here for the VIP has access to the Iron Brew.
Yeah, let's talk about how that changed a little bit.
Yeah, so
back in our day, it was called what was it called? I forgot.
Hop challenge.
So it was called Replicale.
Replicale.
I like brought it up. I thought you were gonna cover me.
I couldn't even cover you initially.
I was drawing a blank too. I'm like, fuck, it's not Replicale.
So Replicale was amazing and wonderful, but the whole concept of that was that all 20 brewers brewed the same beer except like their own take on it. So whether it was their own yeast strain or just their own process, or if they all brewed the same beer with a different hop or a different fruit or something.
Fun but boring.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. Like it was fun because you're drinking 20 different breweries take on the same recipe, which is super interesting if you are that ridiculous beer geek, but not super interesting if you're not that, like,
we do that with Oktoberfest,
uber beer geek,
Irish Reds.
Yeah,
that's all we can do.
So we moved from Replicale into Hop Challenge, which was more around recipes and various hops and things, and then we kind of took that into this Iron Brewer Challenge, which prior to this year was we randomly picked 20 styles of beer from the classic styles and the style guidelines, and we drew out of a hat. So brewers were brewing beers that were not necessarily in their wheelhouse. So maybe a brewer that's never brewed a lager before has to figure out how they're going to brew a lager in time for a beer festival. Mm. And it was super interesting. Mm. And like it turned out a lot of really cool beers.
Yes.
There was some other. That's a good way to say that, I guess. So it was super interesting, but it was also maybe a little too beer geeky for your typical beer fest person to get super into. And like every year we had to limit it to 20 breweries because we got the malt donated, we got the yeast donated, all of those things, like Country Malts, Omega Yeast, they were great about all of that. But they could only really handle that for about 20 breweries.
Okay.
So the demand has always been really high though, so we wanted to go ahead and open it to everyone. So this year we have called out 12 categories.
Yeah.
12 categories.
Beer categories?
12 beer categories. One of those is NA. So there are 12 categories that we are going to be judging We're judging actually at Haymarket next Sunday.
Is that open to the public or no?
No, because so most of the beers that are being judged will be commercial beers, so they're going to be labeled, but it's a blind judging, so the judging itself won't be open to the public.
Okay.
But we'll have those results before the fest starts on the 19th, and we'll be able to announce the winners during that first like VIP early entry aspect of the fest. And we'll have all of the beers available to try. So all of the entry beers will be there to try for that early entry aspect of the fest.
And we'll know the winners so we can get those first.
Yeah, and then we'll be
yes.
And then we'll be announcing all the winners and everything.
And then their tents will be marked that they've won in what category and what.
Are you gonna like wait at least a half hour? So or is it gonna be like right away?
No, there'll be a gap because the announcements at
you
like
don't want
one,
people to be like,
yeah,
I was second person in. I mean, oh, you got your 30
because
minutes
we're announcing at like 1 and the general public can't get until 2, so the brewers have a little bit of a gap to know they've won or not, to hopefully handle a crowd, because we all know.
How much of that beer for the replica or iron brew are you encouraging them to make?
Like, so they're making as much as they want. So they're not necessarily making these beers specifically for this competition as much as they're entering beers.
You're just like, this is your category.
Are planning to have at the fest. Okay. And so if they
Maple
fit in the categories.
Hazy IPA, they could be
we have a hazy IPA. We have a hazy IPA category. So if they said, you know what, I think my hazy IPA is better than all these other people's IPAs, they could definitely enter this.
Okay.
Yeah.
And maybe it is. I don't know. I'm drinking it out of a can, so I can't tell if it's hazy or not.
It tastes hazy.
Hazy is not a taste.
It's a feeling. It's a vibe.
Their son of a juice is one of my favorite things. When I see it in a menu, I get it every time.
I will die on this hill. Hazy is not a taste.
Just like hot dogs is not a sandwich.
Oh. I don't think it's a sandwich either.
I think it's a sandwich.
Yes.
I don't know. Somebody told me that.
It's in bread. I feel like it's a sandwich.
Somebody told me that. Someone thought it was a taco. Like Anthony Bourdain or Andrew Zimmer or someone's like,
it's
like
a taco sandwich.
Like a taco. Because it's like this. I don't know. We're just going to start a whole new debate on this podcast about beer.
I mean, if we want to go into unpopular opinions, The Labyrinth is the best Muppet movie.
We literally had this discussion at my house last week.
Please discuss.
The best Muppet movie?
It is the best of the Muppet movies.
We also went into a Grease 1 versus Grease 2 kind of scenario, but neither one of those.
I have no dog in that. I have no horse in that race.
Did you know there was Grease 2?
I knew there was a Grease 2.
Like, I know it exists, but I've never seen it.
I like it better. Unpopular opinion, but anyway.
Oh, pardon. Microbrew review.
Nick, bring us back.
Bring us back.
So this is year 16. So at, when did you guys get involved?
Or take over.
When did you guys start running the show around this joint?
So I guess I'll start with that. So 2011 was my first year taking part in the Oak Pike Microbrew Review because my boss at the time was one of the creators.
Okay.
And over time, that sort of segued into it being part of my job to be there and make sure to represent our brewery really well, into like taking over the parts of running the fest that he didn't want to do.
I don't want to cancel it, but
I kind of want to be there and drag, but I like.
And that was awesome because it totally fit into like the things that I'm good at, which is like logistics and making things happen and all of that. So that sort of segued into me taking on a bigger role, and then once we moved into where we weren't working with the Brewers Guild anymore to secure all of the breweries, that sort of fit really deeply into my wheelhouse of like, oh, like you know all of the breweries and you know all of these people and you can do it. And so like, yeah, it's my involvement has definitely evolved. And then I would say in the past
2 years our company has been doing it.
So in the past 2 years our event company has been doing it, but then also throughout the COVID years, so 2020 and 2021, I was super active in trying to figure out how to do it virtually, and you know, putting together beer bags and like doing a whole like online version.
I was the last chump to get paid to do this, by the way. I was the one that's like, come volunteer, pour beer for us. You'll love it. In 2011, probably, for Jana, probably, most likely. 2012 and 2013, they have me running volunteers, and all of a sudden I'm running volunteers, and all of a sudden I'm like, wait, you're getting paid? Wait, what? And it's still one of my favorite, I joke, but it's like, I love this event because it's in cute, quaint, I love the downtown, I really do love the setting so much, but it just the same way, it kind of evolved in like, oh, we've been doing this, and then, oh, she knows how to run an event, oh, we can have her involved, and so then, really the last 2 years, our event company, On the Way Events, is the one that has taken over and really been the event producers over the last couple of years.
It's so like a natural progression, that's pretty
good. Actually, yes, a very natural progression of how it worked out, and that we've been around a long time, and we've worked with Gary a long time, and Pete, and done all these, and we all have our love language, which some days we all, I think we have the best thing on the planet, and some days we're all like, oh, I'm going to kill you all. And we all have that, right?
Has there been thoughts now that Pete is the president again to bring it back into a guild event?
That's right. Pedro
Pete's not the president.
Oh, well,
I thought he took office again.
Yeah. Oh, did he?
That's what they were, that was the conversation at FOBAB, because they changed the rules for him, I thought. Because he was the MC.
Oh, no. Did he not become president? Who's president?
No. So Ken from Alter is the president. Oh. And then
why did we think it was Pete?
So
we were told the rules were being changed for Pete. Right?
I'm with you. We don't write anything down.
The rules were not really they were not specifically being changed for him, but like they were being interpreted differently. Yes.
No more maple whip for Brad.
People tell us things. I remember.
Sometimes I remember hearing
people
something.
Tell you things you should repeat on the radio.
Don't tell me things.
It's all good. So Ken from Alter Brewing is currently the president of the ICBG, and then Pete is on the board.
Okay.
But they just had a new election, brought in some new board members, and they will be shortly, within the next week or two, I believe, having their internal election to say, like, who's the president, who's all of those things.
Did you vote early and often and twice, and that's why you know who the new president is?
Yeah. I vote often and early. That's
totally
the Chicago
possible.
Way.
You know, we, so On the Way Events, we're members of the Brewers Guild. Obviously, we have a lot of love for them. I don't think that this fest will ever go back to being a full-on guild event.
Okay.
Just, it's hard to... I mean, it is a 7 generations ahead event to raise money for them. So to go back to the guild, we'd have to split some profits. And that's just really not where the nonprofit wants to be. Or
and
where
that's what we heard from about the beer in the glass.
Too. Yeah.
About like it just becomes hard. And is where the money goes, where the money's, what's the money for.
And when's it split. And as someone who's a nonprofit executive, like, yeah, it gets a little bit harder when you're trying to explain to your board and why you're doing this and why you're splitting the profits. And I'll be honest, like the conversation is a two sides of the coin, right? Like, we're not going to raise that much money without this, but maybe we can, maybe we can't. But if you do and you're trying to decide that you're going to take it on by yourself, 7 generations ahead did it well by getting an event company involved. And I'm not just saying that about us because we're really great at what we do. I mean, we are. We're On the Way Events and you should call us. But but I say that, but in general, like, they took it on and knowing that they themselves maybe weren't the great event producer, let's get people involved. Where you can have other nonprofits that are like, oh, we're going to take on this beer event, but they don't know anything about the industry and the people and the vibe and how to do it. And I was just on a panel earlier today about large festivals and what do you do and how do you trust the people who are producing an event and how do you choose to partner with them and how do you not? And that's really important. So I think there's that, those kinds of the side of the coin. If you're going to split, you need to figure it out as a nonprofit. Do you really know how to do this? And do you really want to? It's an investment. You want to be invested in the beer community to make it successful. Or do you just want to give that piece up? And I think that's where SGA did a good job of saying, like, no, we know that we need the help to make this event great. And how do we do that?
SGA is 7 generations ahead, Brett.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you for my acronym. My acronym. Doing acronym.
I'm here for you.
Thank you.
And that's why you're the host.
At Full Tilt, what's the scope of Oak Park Microbrew Review? Like, how big can it get? If you're maxed out, how big is this event?
So we'll be at a close to 2,500 to 3,000 again this year with like comps and guests and people that walk through. Probably closer to 2,500. The heyday was close to 4,000, and I don't know if you guys were here. It was like ridiculous though. Like we as a team have decided that's even too, you couldn't walk. You couldn't get anywhere. You couldn't pretend to get from Lake Street down to, forget what it is, South America. Like you just couldn't. Pleasant Street, like that wasn't even an option. So I don't know that we'll ever go back to that because I think that Fast Start Pass, that like, I think all Fast Start Pass, that like, let's just crowd them in.
Like back to back, oversold.
You lose ticket sales the next year.
Nobody wants that anymore. Like nobody wants that whole like body to body, just cannot move. Like even GABF doesn't do that anymore. Like people want to be able to spread out and enjoy themselves, and
I'll pay the couple extra dollars to not have to be standing on top of someone.
Yeah,
I'll show up late if it means there's less people now.
Yeah, right. I mean, maybe this is all of us doing this for 13, 14 years where we're like,
small beers and less people. Got it.
I think on last episode we talked about like either not charging for the fest so you have more people and just paying as you go, and then people can be like, oh, that's too many people, I'm out, or the people that want to be there, so that a place like this, you're outside so you can have a lot of people, but if you're in like an inside space, also just like a brewery can be like, we're gonna have a fest, we were talking about microphone and their fest, like you don't sell tickets, just have people show up, and if it's too crowded, people move on.
It becomes a little bit though, there's a cost benefit analysis of that. If you're like the event planner, you need to know some strategic costs, right? So
if you're a single location brewery, don't sell tickets to your event. You're gonna sell the beer.
I haven't been out there. Does he do tents and stuff like that? Are there built-in costs like that?
No, there were his beers on the main bar, and then there was tents in the back for all the guest drafts.
But I think
you still have to pay for the tents.
It's still a pretty big scale event.
Yeah.
But I think a fest like this, you need to sell tickets because you need to gauge.
Well, yeah, you're a nonprofit. Like, honestly, as a nonprofit.
Especially volunteers and people who are going to be here. Like, you can't be like, I don't know, we might have two. We might have 2,000.
Yeah. Volunteers, all those things. Or, like, we budget, like, we talk about almost every day the budgeting items where can we save money here? Can we do this? And there's just some core things you just can't cut money on as a nonprofit. Like, we need to have the right glassware because at the end of the day, like, people are paying for beer in their glassware. We're pretty.
That's one of my favorite glasses. Is year 15. I drink lemonade.
Oh, we're gonna get the glasses this year. Oh, I wish we would have them. I mean, the radio listeners can't listen, see them, but if we had them, they have a full wrap this year.
We have them.
They have a full wrap this year, so they're a little bit.
They are pretty.
They're pretty. I designed them. Thank you very much. They're pretty. but they have a full wrap this year. We found a glass company that allowed us to do that from our print, and they have a full wrap.
Oh, no, I'm good.
Right. Okay.
Oh, I must have that look. Oh, sorry. No. That's disregard.
You know the beer?
I like that you're going to cut that out, I hope. Nah.
It all stays in.
So the glasses this year are going to be even different because we can have a little bit of a full wrap. I did just use my 15 year for something else. But
yeah, that's nice, that's
my 15 year glass has been in my car for a year.
A year? I literally got out of her passenger side door today, and I'm like, why is this glass still in your...
Like, is it an active glass, or it was just kind of hanging out? Like, did you put, like, earrings or stuff in it?
Like, no, there's, like, a lanyard. It literally is a lanyard in the glass sitting in. You know how you have the plastic, like...
I can understand that. I don't drive my car very often.
She drives hers every day.
It's in the passenger side cup holder, so I only ever even think about it when I have a passenger.
Every time I call it out.
Whenever it's you or like...
But you use it as advertising for the fest. Yeah. Like, oh yeah, that was the fest.
For sure,
you
I think about it all the time.
You should come this coming year.
Today we got out over here and I'm like, why is there still a glass here?
I mean, you know what, if you want to think about things that have been in my car that long, like my Sock Monkey umbrella that I bought in the rainstorm last year is still in the car too, so.
Yes, if you do come to downtown Oak Park and it rains, there are many lovely vendors here that will sell you an umbrella or a poncho.
Oh, nice.
I mean, just to mention the lovely downtown Oak Park. It is cool. I mean, I do like it. I get gifts here. Figure out. Because all the vendors are open.
Yeah, so we started with beer, and let's end with beer again. So.
Yeah.
On the list, who are you? I know you're very excited for everyone who's coming here and supporting the fest, but if you were a guest or a listener, who are you going to this year? Because we've had like a number of breweries close. I know, 3 years ago, we were talking to Metal Monkey, and they were here.
This would have been an event where I get to try Metal Monkey because I'm not going to Roman.
Like, yeah. Who are you drinking that's like maybe hard to get to? Maybe not even like that you're like super hyped about, but that just like it's tricky to get to. I gotta go.
Sure. So, I mean, some of that for us is like places that are just further away. So, like Naperville, Gobarain. Like, I've not had very many of their beers. Super excited to try out their things.
Right. Also, I'm there. I'm going to Somos. Like, sorry, Gobarain.
I mean, how would you be there and not go to Somos, right? Yeah. But then also, like, I don't make it out to Microphone very often, so being able to try what they're bringing, super excited about that.
Yeah, I haven't caught them very often either.
And then, like, out in that whole, like, Geneva corridor, like, D&G is going to be here, Stockholm's, like, a lot of those breweries, and, like, I just don't make it out that way as much as I did maybe 5 years ago.
But over there, like, Riverlands is making, like, killer beer. I don't know if they're on the list. But
yeah, or even, like Lunar Brewing. Like, we used to go all the time, and I just...
Lunar's been around for a long time. They used to come to Festivale back in the day.
Charlie's the man, but like I just don't make it out there.
Lunar, Nick and I joke about Lunar because it's a hilarious. It's a VFW brewery.
I know. It totally is.
Totally is. 100%. Oh my gosh, the logo is that way. Yes.
And it is just weird, especially knowing that more is literally like a block away.
If you just take the train,
should I go to Lunar? Like more is right there, and then phase three is gonna be.
Phase three is opening up now too. Yeah.
But what I would say on that note is that like, if you're at a beer fest and you need something, like Lunar is the place to go. Like they're gonna have whatever it is you need. Like you're. Jockey box broke, or you don't have a wrench, or like you didn't bring the thing that you needed. Like Charlie's gonna have that somewhere in this rig that he brings with him, like, because he will have it.
There are breweries that we go to that we know that we're like, oh, they're gonna show up and they're gonna have. Oh, you know what we have to talk about? We have a key volunteer that's not gonna be here this year. She always has all the things too. Vicky, she has all the things.
Vicky's the best.
From Buckle Down.
Yeah, well, not from Buckle Down anymore. She was Skeleton Key, and then she's not necessarily like.
She's taking her kids to college, by the way. This
industry
is where we got age.
Anymore. Yes.
But then Nick and I, it was a couple years ago, there was a Japanese brewery that was here. Like they were fun
so
to find,
they were
and then I don't
fun.
Even know if they're like around anymore.
I honestly don't know.
I wasn't sure. I got a sticker.
They were near One Lake.
And then I'm not sure about
they
their
were
name.
Super fun, and then like I haven't heard from them.
Like an Asian
so
spot.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, even with Funky Town this year, I assume they're going to be super popular with winning the Sam Adams Award.
They got to open a space here soon.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, they are just down the street from me. I'm Milwaukee, but I don't. Yeah.
They got to get
out
of Pilot Project and do their own thing.
But yeah, you're right. What I'll tell anybody who comes to a beer fest, this is my number one piece of advice. You've paid the $75 to come here or whatever it is, $65, you know.
Less than.
High ticket goers, it does go up if you haven't purchased yet, so buy today. but like it does go up. But if you've paid money to come to a beer fest, try all the weird things you don't know. Don't go to all the breweries you already know.
And don't get beguiled. You've had beguile.
Screw
Kevin.
I was like, I love Kevin so much. I would never. I love him so much.
Definitely go get beguile.
But I do think it is a really good opportunity.
But also try other things.
Try it. It is a really good. You've purchased the ticket. If you don't like it, just try something. And you can go back to all of your favorite Old Faithfuls. Like, beguile blonde is like an Old Faithful. I'm going to the raspberry lime thing this Friday. So like, but it is, take the opportunity to try things that you think you might not like. This is the way to do it. All day long.
Yeah, I mean, you already paid the price of entry, so trying something you don't like doesn't cost you anything.
Right, it's not like you're buying another $10 beer and pouring it out. You're not. Like, try it.
Explore.
And you can ask brewers, by the way. You can ask brewers to give you a half glass. You don't need a full glass.
Right.
Give me a taste. Give me a tiny little taste. Yeah, see if you like it. That's my favorite thing about these beer. But that's how I learned to like craft beer. Like, legitimately, honestly, when I started running craft beer events, I didn't know shit. And so here we are, and now I do. I'll just be honest, because I tried. I was like, okay, I'll try this. Yeah.
Anything else people should know? Is there a, well, you don't have to pay to come in, so if you have a DD, they can just drive and kind of hang out with you.
Yeah.
So there's not like a DD ticket that they have to buy.
No, they can just come and hang out. It is for charity.
Parking, like, there is a parking garage.
There's a like couple parking structures in the area.
Right, there is parking, but it's right off the train. We definitely suggest mass transit. It's
I don't think the scooter.
It's actually it's a not a bad bike ride from Chicago, but it's I would suggest taking the train.
Yeah.
Nick and I, we had a ridiculous bike ride. I don't know if you've heard about this bike ride.
No.
During Metropolitan's Oktoberfest, we did Metro, Rev, Pilot Project, Goose 312 Day, and then bike back north.
That's not fun.
We almost didn't make it.
That doesn't sound fun.
But on the topic of biking, that's actually how I met you. Was the original like bike the brewery, just like back in I don't know, like 2010.
I don't live far from where Finch started.
We're just up the street from each other. I feel like back in the day, we were just. I actually Googled their old address at one point in time because I was like, where are they on Elston?
I was like, I think that's the building. Yeah. It's not far from Chicago Meadery.
Okay. It is the same building as Chicago Meadery.
No.
It's not?
I think it's a different building.
We drove past the other day and we were trying to think about that. Second I was like, no, like, I think it's further.
Second City Meadery. It's like a, I forget what it's called. It starts with a D.
Back in the day. Yeah, so it's easy to get here. So, like, to your question, like, come, it's easy to get here. The tickets are available day of, so if it's nice and sunshiny and you want to come out, you can purchase tickets day of. You get your souvenir glass.
Even if it's going to rain, it's just going to rain for a little bit.
A little bit. It's going to be like, why do they call it pineapple rains, where it just rains a little bit in the afternoon?
I'm going to use that. I like that.
I mean, that sounds like something
else. What? Pineapple rains?
Entirely. Yeah. But whatever.
Oh, no.
But people bring their kids. People bring their dogs. Like, it's just fun.
And you can. You really can just wander the downtown area. And you're right. You don't have to have a ticket. I mean, you're not going to get beer if you don't have a glass or wristband, but it's a fun afternoon. And again, it all goes to support Seven Generations Ahead and their mission to build sustainable communities. And if you don't know what that means, they work with municipalities to help them implement recycling programs in their communities, solar programs in their communities, farm to schools. So like schools, and how do we just buy directly from farmers so we have fresh produce in our schools. So in general, what they're doing is really working on building that community sense of like the farmers and schools and in the solar, all those kinds of things. So all of the money raised goes back to Seven Generations Ahead. And they have a contingency of students that go to the United Nations climate change. This year they're going to Dubai to actually listen to the United Nations climate conference while they're in Dubai, which is amazing. So like all the money raised kind of goes to those kinds of things. So at the end of the day, it's for a good cause.
So where can people get tickets? What's the website?
Yeah. So if you want to get tickets, you can go to sevengenerationsahead.org/OPMBR.
Okay.
OPMBR.
And then social medias?
Also Oak Park Microbrew Review for social medias, Facebook and Instagram. Not the TikToks, we didn't get there.
Okay. What about Nick? Where can people follow you when you're drinking here at Oak Park?
Right on, man. I'm on Twitter at Nicosio.
B-Rad, Chicago Beer Pass. We'll do some videos, lives, something from here. Yeah.
Yeah.
This was great.
Thanks you. It's always such a pleasure. Thank you, guys.
Yeah. Take care.
Okay.
Cheers.
Bye.
Thanks, man. Cheers.